Okay, evening church. Just want us to close the eyes for a start. Father, I thank you that you died on a cross, that you rose again, and that you are sitting on the right hand of God, ruling and reigning. As we are sitting under your lordship, we just want to acknowledge you tonight, Lord God, as the upper authority, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And we just surrender to you, Lord God, and we submit under your authority, and we declare that all other powers and principalities must submit under your name, under your lordship now, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that you will work through me, let your Holy Spirit speak, and Father, I pray that people will be open to receive from you tonight. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, right. Topic for tonight, making disciple makers. Okay, so you've heard about disciples and you've heard about making disciples. But I think tonight we're going to talk more a bit about making disciple makers. Because it doesn't really help you're a disciple, but you don't disciple other people. Okay, I'm going to start with the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Then he says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Okay, you can see that starting with making disciples, there's a couple of keywords: baptizing, authority, and then teaching as well, and then God being with us. All right, I'm going to start with that. We're going to come back to the scripture. This is just to open tonight. Now, what is a disciple? Okay, definition that I got, a scholar sometimes applied to the followers of John the Baptist and of the Pharisees, but principally to the followers of Jesus Christ. The word disciple literally means being a learner. Okay, so somebody who's keen to learn from somebody else who knows a bit more about a certain topic. Now, Jesus is not looking for fans. Because if you think of sports, and we think of, there's many sports teams, I'm not going to speak about a particular one tonight, but say for example, you follow that sporting team and now things are not going according to plan. What happens? Those fans quickly disappear. They disappear from the stadiums, they disappear from, they're on social media, but it's not for a good reason. They're actually talking about how bad that team is, whatever. Okay, so when the team is playing well, everybody is excited, everybody's happy. But when it's not going as well as it should, people are just normal fans. So that is why Jesus is looking for followers. Because followers will follow him if it goes well, if everything in their life goes according to plan or not. If it's tough times, if it's turmoil times, if it's despair times, that's also times that we're supposed to follow. And followers go through all those times of persecution, etc., and they keep on following. Okay, so we need to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. That's what the end focus and goal should be. All right, so I've got it. I'm not sure if you can see. All right. We've got the seeker in the beginning. Okay. They're wondering about Jesus. Okay. So we've got many places, where people come and they know a bit, but they're seeking. They don't know what they're seeking for. Some people seek it in pubs, other people in other things, but we're supposed to seek it with Jesus. Okay. But you're a seeker in the beginning. You don't really know what it's about. Then at a stage, you become a believer. That is when you start trusting in Jesus. Okay? But I think a believer, I would also call a fan. Because when the going gets tough, those people also go by the wayside and they forget that they're supposed to trust in Jesus. When it goes, when things doesn't go according to plan, they maybe backslide or they start blaming God for their circumstances, etc. So I would call a believer also just a fan. But what we should get to is what I referred to earlier, is a follower. And that's a person, that's a disciple who is walking with Jesus. Now, there's a book, a discipleship book from C.S. LaRue, Pastor C.S. LaRue, that I would recommend that you get, because it's a wonderful way of 40 days of getting, sorry, that's my alarm clock. I don't know why it's going off now. Okay. Maybe it tells me I must start preaching now. Okay. So walking with Jesus is that book that I think you should, it's only 70 rand, so make a plan to get that book for yourself. Okay. Jesus said in Matthew 4 verse 18 to 22, and I'm just going to take one scripture from that. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Okay. Follow me. Okay. So the first command is to follow him. Okay. And while you are following him, he will make you fishers of men. So you're not a fisher of men in the beginning. You must start following first. And then in the process, he will start making you a fisher of man, of men. Okay. Jeremy Wallace, a senior pastor of Highland Baptist Church, said three things that stood out for me that was quite interesting and that I want to point out, that the difference between teaching disciples and making disciple makers. The simple transfer of information does not necessarily equip discipleship or spiritual growth. Okay, so just transfer of knowledge and information is not enough. True discipleship should result in action, not just knowledge. Then lastly, each disciple should be involved in the process of making other disciples. Otherwise, you're not a true disciple. Okay, so what's the goal of discipleship? To turn all people into fully devoted, mature followers of Christ. Okay, so we all want to be mature. We don't want to be babies. Okay, who wants to stay in their nappies? Is there any one of you who wants to stay in their nappies? Okay, but if you're a spiritual child or a baby and you don't eat proper food, you're still in your nappies. Okay, so I want people who are still in their nappies to come out of their nappies tonight and to start to eat spiritual food and to grow up. Okay, so we need, the goal of discipleship is to grow spiritually. We need to grow. We can't, a very important theologian once said that if you're not growing, and that theologian is sitting here on my left, sitting there at the back, he's the pastor of this church. He said if you're not growing, what is the next part of that, pastor? If you're not growing, help me. Okay. No, it's basically you need to, if something is not growing, it's basically dead. Okay? If it's not growing, it's dead. And we need to grow constantly. We can't backslide. If we're not advancing one day, from the one day to the next, we're actually spiritually dead. We need to advance every single day and not accept it that you're going to stay in the same space, from one day to the next. Okay. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who's read anything from him or heard about him? Okay. Couple of you. All right. I think it's a good guy to get some books from. He's not with us anymore. He was a martyr for Christ. Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. Okay, so he says if you're not a disciple, okay, if you're not a disciple, then are you truly following Christ? Are you truly a follower of him at that stage? So I want to ask you, are you making disciples or are you just influencing people? Are you truly making disciples? If I ask each one of you now, who are you discipling? Can you tell me I'm discipling this and that and the following persons and I'm spending time with them And within my schedule, I commit time to that specific people because I know it's important to spend time with them. Now, I'm going to continue to say, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Okay, I'm going to talk about a few things. It's maybe characteristics, but things that you will see. If somebody is a disciple of Jesus, this will be evident. They are disciplined. Now, do you see that cat there next to a couple of dogs? Now, if there was no discipline there, you would have, I don't have to tell you what was going to happen there. You know, the dogs would have been there for one moment and the next, the cat would have been history. But in any case, I'm a lover of cats as well, so I'm very happy that that cat is just walking there and the dogs are keeping their distance. Okay. Discipline is doing what needs to be done even though you don't want to. Who knows that 5 o'clock in the morning is not easy to get up? Okay. But who knows that getting up 5 o'clock in the morning, and if you consistently start doing it, it's your best time of the day. Who phones other people at 5 o'clock in the morning? Probably just because the guy's late for the jog or something, but otherwise, nobody's supposed to phone you at 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay? And that's your best time to spend time with the Lord. And if it's priority for you, you will get up early in the morning, even though you're not maybe a morning person. Because when the day starts, you'll tell, okay, but I didn't have time. I didn't have time. If you don't have time, get up 1 hour earlier. Then you will have time to do many things. Okay, something else. It was a nice picture about a bridge, about discipline. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments. For every disciplined effort, there is multiple reward. It starts with small things that you start doing. I know that, at the time that I was studying earlier, my first couple of years at varsity, I wasn't very disciplined. But the Lord started showing me that if you're not disciplined in small things, you're not going to be disciplined in other things. You must start somewhere. And I started being more disciplined in my studies, and then it will also flow over into different other areas of your life. If you're disciplined in your work, why aren't we disciplined in our Christian walk, which is more important actually. Okay? I know our work is also marketplace ministry, etc. But we are there at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we're even there at 7 o'clock, or some people get up at 4 o'clock in Joburg to get to work. But then they say they don't have time for God. But they've got 15 or 16 hours for work. They've got time to go to the movies. They've got time for many things. But they don't have time for God. Okay, so it starts with discipline. And people that are successful in life, and I'm not talking about success tonight, but people who accomplish things in life will tell you, and you will look at them, you will see that they're disciplined. Think of the word disciple. Do you see the word discipline there? Okay, the root word discipline, disciple, is someone who is disciplined as well. Okay, then second thing, and this is a difficult one, because we are living in a narcissistic society where it's about myself and I, okay, the Holy Trinity of myself, or I'm not sure how you call it, but okay, so it's about me, myself, and I, and my things, my family, my plans, my schedules, my holiday, my car, my house, my business, whatever. A disciple is somebody who gets to a place where he surrenders his own will. He says, nothing belongs to me anymore. Not my own will, not my body, not my finances, not my work, not my family. Nobody. Nobody. Nothing belongs to me. Okay, so is it going to be my way or God's way? If you're a disciple, it's going to be God's way. If you want to be a fan, then keep to your to my way, and then go to where that arrow is pointing. Third thing of a disciple is, he's radically obedient. I've learned in my own life, when you start being radically obedient in small things, the Lord starts talking more and more and more. And he comes through for you in areas while you're not even focusing on it. Okay. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Now I want you to tell the guy next to you, at once. At once they left their nets and followed him. Okay. So these guys were busy. They were busy with their work. They were fishermen. And Jesus came and said, follow me. And they left their nets. I don't know even, you know, I think all the boats surrounding them were thinking, what is happening here? They thought maybe there's a sale somewhere in town or something, but these guys, or there's, yeah, maybe it was Black Friday, I don't know. But in any case, these guys left everything and they just ran after Jesus. And that is the way we should be. We should start radically being obedient to Christ and following. A fourth thing that a disciple will do, he will count the cost. And Billy Graham, who's heard about Billy Graham? Okay, very famous evangelist. He said, salvation is free. And everybody will tell you that. But discipleship will cost you everything you have. Salvation is free. That's the first step. Then you're not a disciple yet. You became a fan of Jesus at that moment when you gave your life to Jesus. Then you're a fan of Him. You want to follow Him. But then you must become a disciple. And that's a process. And that's going to cost you everything you have. Okay, Dietrich Bonhoeffer again said, cheap grace is a deadly enemy of our church. We are fighting today for costly grace. It didn't cost Jesus nothing. Think about it, what it cost Him. What did it cost Jesus? What did it cost the Father at that stage? He gave up everything. He gave up His most important, the most important thing in His life was His Son Jesus. He gave it up because He knew He had to. Because He had a love for the world. Grace is not cheap. Discipleship is not cheap. Don't go to people and say, just follow Jesus and then all your problems will go away and then this and that will happen. Most of these guys, most of the disciples died a martyr's death. Most of the Christians that is truly following Christ in China and in some other countries are dying for their faith today. It's not a cheap gospel. People have died, many have died, so that we can sit here today and hear the gospel of Christ. Okay, the fifth thing that the disciple would do is they've got a lifestyle filled with relationships. Now, I know you want your own time. And I know some are not, they say they're not extroverts or introverts or whatever, you know. But it's not about that. It's about making people a priority. Some people need more time on their own. But that time should be to fill up so that you can be with people again and share with them the gospel of Christ. Teach them to be disciples and teach them things about discipleship and about the kingdom. Discipleship is a lifestyle filled with relationships, a life of pouring yourself out for others. Okay, so discipleship is about relationships. And the last thing about in this, thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the last thing that I want to say about this part of discipleship is you have to make daily decisions with God's kingdom in mind. Every life is a series of decisions, small changes that add up to great change. Okay, so it's that small things that I referred to earlier that you must start doing. And that goes hand in hand with being disciplined. Small things. You don't become a Comrades Marathon runner on your first run. Okay? You don't become a Comrades Marathon runner on your first run. It's discipline. It's maybe walking. I know people who ran the Comrades who started by not running for 20 years and then they just walk around one of the areas where they live And then the second day, they walk a bit further. And in the end, a year later, they ran the Comrades. Okay? But it's small steps, and you have to make small changes. And then in the end, it will add up to great change. Okay. Next section that I wanted to look at is, it's enemies of Jesus Christ, but it's also enemies of being a disciple. Okay, that I'm going to look at now. It's only a couple of things. Nui, we're going to become a bit more practical. Enemy one is consumerism. Now, I don't know if you see it there. Consumerism is in us all. And if you see the part at the back, it says, consumerism is killing us all. Why do I say that? Because now you pray once for something and you think, okay, yes, God didn't give it to me. Because nowadays, if I want something, I want it now. You know, you buy something on Take a Lot, and if it's not there the same day or the next day, you become very agitated about, you know, this bad service, you know, what is happening to the post office or to the people who's delivering the stuff. And I would say people are consumers today. They want something now. And now we come with the same mentality, and it's a Greek mentality. We come to God and we say, I want it now. Lord, I prayed for it once and I don't have it. You don't love me anymore. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? And you become offended with God. You become offended with people because things doesn't happen immediately. Where is the time and the place where we go to God and sit before Him and weep, like I see in the Bible with David and many of the other followers of Christ? They weep before they ashes and sackcloth and all those things when they made a mistake. When is the time last that you properly repented of sin in your life? Where you cried before the Lord because you say, Lord, I've missed it. But we're in a consumerist place, in a society where we want everything now. Nobody's willing to go the extra mile and pray to God and pray again and pray again and pray again and pray again. I know there's people who's got family members that's not serving Christ. But you gave up. You said, I've prayed many times. It hasn't happened. I want to encourage you, don't stop. Don't be a consumer. Start trusting the Lord on and on and on. Because it will happen if you continue. Second thing, again, I talked about discipline, but you know, one of the things that's an enemy is poor discipline because we don't get to Christ. Third thing, fearing which one? Is it God or man? You can choose. I decided I'm not going to fear man anymore. I'm rather going to fear God, who's got control and over where my soul will go in the end. A man can scream at you. A man can do whatever to you. He can even kill you. In this life. But after that, if you're a believer and a follower of Christ, you will go to Him. So I want to encourage you, don't fear people. Don't fear man's opinion. Because man's opinion is coming from a place of fear. People that doesn't know Christ, sinners will sin. They will scream at you. They will be unfaithful. They will be unhappy with things that you do. They will be unreasonable. But don't fear them. Fear God. And stand up. Stand up in your workplace. Stand up in other places for Christ. Because He stood up on a cross. He hanged on a cross. Publicly He shamed Himself for you and for me. And He wasn't afraid then. He didn't back down and say, oh, okay, but people are going to do things to me, so I'm rather going to run away now. He could. He had all the powers and principalities at his hand. He could have used it. He didn't want to. Because He knew He did it for us. So I just want to encourage you, fear God, not man. Fourth thing that's the enemy is offense. Okay. Who's come to you before and told you, listen, I'm a brother or a sister in Christ, and I see this or that in your life. And then next moment you're offended, you don't want to, you don't talk to this person. Do you know how much guts that person scraped together to just come to you? Because he knew, potentially, there's a person that's not going to be in their life anymore. But they love you that much that they come to you and say, listen, but, you know, we must look at this. If you want to be a true disciple of Christ, this is something that you need to look at. But we become offended. People move churches. They're offended. Somebody did something that they didn't like. They move to this church and that church, and they just hop from the one place to the other. I encourage you, stay grounded in one place. You will get offense, work through your offense. If somebody tells you something, say, okay, I'm listening to you, I'm gonna go to the Lord, I'm gonna pray about it, and I'm gonna come back to you about it. Don't defend yourself, listen to the person's words, because maybe you can learn something. And then the other thing is, there's an invisible war going on for your soul daily. Okay, if you want to be a true disciple, if you start following Jesus fully, expect some things to come against you. Don't be surprised when there's a couple of things that comes against you if you start following Jesus with everything in your life. Jesus didn't say that you won't get persecution. Jesus didn't say that everything will go perfect and well in your life if you start following him. But what he did promise us is that we will have peace in our hearts. We'll have joy even in difficult circumstances. That's what he promised us. He didn't promise us no persecution or plain sailing. But there's a war going on. And you decide which side you want to be on. Do you want to be on Christ's side? Then you must be a follower. And doesn't matter what comes against you, stay on that side. Don't let the devil come and take you off track and stop you from following Jesus. Okay. I want to get to the last section. I'm getting back to that specific scripture of Matthew 28. Okay, it's just in a picture form. First part of the scripture, it says, go into the world. So you must go and seek. It's not going to be difficult. You can look around you. There's many people that doesn't follow Christ. Okay, so your harvest field is not very far. You don't have to go to the Middle East to find some people that doesn't follow Christ. Maybe you can just open your door or, you know, drive down the street. You'll find them. Okay, a disciple make disciples of all cultures. Right, I want to see more cultures here. It's too white in this place. Okay? All right, next thing that a Christian need or a disciple need to do, baptize disciples into the Holy Trinity. Now, let me just go back to that scripture. It says that people started following Christ. And because they followed Christ and they repented, it's a baptism of repentance. So now you believe or you realize that you are a sinner. Okay. So when they realize that they are sinners, they said, Lord, spare my life. I repent of my sins. And what happens the next time? Next moment, they get themselves baptized. So is it you have to go through all the foundations or encounters and then through Bible school, and then in the end, you're like, okay, I'm at a level now. I think, I'm not there yet. I think I must, maybe second year Bible school. Yes. Second year Bible school. I'm going to do second year Bible school. And then, no. When you repent, it says, okay, do you want to follow Jesus? Are you following him now? Yes. Get yourself baptized. Okay. This is swimming outside here. Afterwards, those of you who haven't been baptized and who believe that they want to follow Christ and are followers of Christ, we're going to baptize you afterwards here. Okay. Next thing. Teach people to obey all the commands. Which commands was that? is all the words of Jesus. Whatever he commanded people to do, whatever he commanded people to do in the Gospels, that is the things that you must teach other disciples, other believers as well. Okay, just a couple of practical things. How do you make disciples? Just in the cell groups, just a couple of things. Church happens in the week. Do you know that? We are only at a celebration service tonight. Church actually happens on a Wednesday or Thursday, whenever you've got your small group. You need to connect. When you're discipling, you need to connect people with Christ, not with you. Okay? It's about connecting people with Christ. Keep the vision before people. Why are we doing small groups? Now, we changed. And Uncle Gerrit will laugh now. We changed our cell group to a discipleship group. The name is not cell group anymore, it's discipleship group. And the reason for that was just, it was just an active thing. I felt the Lord was saying at that moment, we were listening to CS and I just dropped with me. And then people know where they're coming to. They're not coming to a place where we just chat and chit-chat and drink coffee and whatever. We're coming to a place where we get actively discipled. Okay. We need to raise up leaders. Now, I've got a couple of interns. And myself, I've got two groups of interns. How many groups of interns do you have that will take over when you're multiplying in your cell groups? I'm asking now. You will know. You don't have to answer me. You answer it to your cell group members. And pray to the Lord and say, Lord, who's the new leaders? And tell them, okay, in 3 months' time, we are going to multiply. So you need to get discipled now. So spend more time with me so that we can get ready, so that we can get active, so that we can multiply. Because if there's too many people in a cell group, you don't get to everyone properly. You can't disciple people properly. Okay, so monkey hear, see, and do. Okay, so you're the leader. Now you're doing something. So for example, after church now, we're going to pray for people. Okay? After church, we're going to pray for people. And then I expect people to come forward that is not being ministered to pray for other people. Because, and if you don't know how, come and stand next to somebody who, and you listen to what they are praying. Okay, and then next time you do the same. Events are discipleship opportunities. We've got many events in the church. Many places where you can go, where there's a new event, etc. That is discipleship opportunities. You must use them. Small groups are for discipleship, not consumers. All must bring their 10 cents or 10 rands or whatever you've got. You must come to the cell group to give, not to come and just get. Don't come to church to get. Think about, yeah, you will receive a message or you will receive connection with God, but that's not your focus while you are here. You must ask yourself, who can I pray for? Who can I bless tonight? Lord has given me this. Where can I impart something into a person's life? Okay. Then, as a leader, you must celebrate and encourage. Celebrate and encourage. And people are going to make mistakes. That's okay. At least, if they are trying, then it's fine. If they're not trying, then you need to tell them and start trying. And if they make a mistake, you say, okay, just think of this or think of that. But don't condemn them. Celebrate them, encourage them. Accountability. Why is accountability important? Because we are our brother's keepers. Okay? You need to tell your brother, listen, what is happening there? You said something to your wife now. I mean, did you really mean that? Or, I can see there's some tension there. Is everything okay? Can I pray for something? Whatever the situation might be. We need to look out for our brothers and sisters. And we must spend most of our time with leaders, with the leaders in our cell group. Okay. Put out the extra chair. Put out the expectation there and say, okay, next week somebody must sit here. Who are you going to bring? Who did you bring to church tonight? Who did you invite? Okay, that must be the culture. That must be the culture that we must have to bring more people. If there's 7 people in a cell group 1 week, there's supposed to be 14 the next week, at least. Okay. Right. So pack out more chairs. Give people cards to pray for 5 people that needs to get saved, for example. Pray for multiplication. How many people are here before church service? How many people pray for the church service? We need to start praying. If we're not praying, we can't expect the Lord to do things because He moves through prayer. We need to be this 2 prayer meetings. It's before the services and then on a Thursday at this stage and probably next year again on a Monday night. We need to get there. If we want the Lord to start moving in this church, we need to start praying. Okay. And then another thing in the cell group, you must set the example. Failing and learning, I talked about that. Not more than 12. It's too big. Okay. We're more than that now, so that's why we're going to multiply. A person must not feel he's not missed if he's not there. You must know, oh, that person wasn't there. We missed you, man. Come on, come back. A healthy church is a place where small groups will multiply. And it's a lifestyle. The discipleship is a lifestyle. That's in a cell group and the last part in a church. Sunday meeting is a celebration, as I said. Events are discipleship opportunities. This is the opportunity where people can get discipled. If your cell group members are here, this is the place where you disciple them. Be at church earlier to pray. Come to the church to give. Minister to God and to people. Teach them to observe. See how I do it, then you do it. Just mobilize people. Then you stand back and allow people to grow. You teach them and then you watch and you observe how they do it. And if you can speak into their lives, you say, listen, but you can also do this. You can also do that. Minister you at the front afterwards and then just help that something multiplies. You're just a facilitator in terms of that. And the last slide on this is making disciples in the church. Freely you received, now you freely give. Okay? If a person has taken the first step one day as a disciple, he knows more than the other person who hasn't started walking. That means if you serve Christ for one day, you can start discipling people. Don't think you must be at a spiritual level or whatever. You know something that that person doesn't know. And then you teach it to them. That's how discipleship works. All of us must make disciples. Everyone is a minister and a host. Hosting people, welcoming people, praying for people, etc. And we must have more fathers in this house. People who start fathering other people. Okay, who starts a place of discipleship with people. To end off, do we have, I'm going to ask you now, do you think we've got a discipleship culture at the moment? Yes or no? You can be honest. Yes? Who says yes? Okay. All right, I don't see any hands, so maybe we don't have one at the moment, but we trust that it will change. I challenge you. I dare you to be a disciple. This is a call to discipleship for all of you. To start discipling people and be a disciple. That means you must follow Christ firstly. Start with that. There's also a call to new adventures of discipleship with the Lord. Because it's an adventure. And I want to encourage you and I want to ask you to join me in that quest and that time that I decided to start following Christ. It's been an adventure. It's been a roller coaster as well. But it's been exciting. And I want to encourage you to also be part of that. Okay, I want to ask you now to all close your eyes. I'm just going to pray prayer first. Father, I thank you that tonight we can preach about something that's dear to your heart, which is discipleship. You were the true disciple maker, Father. And I pray that you will teach us how to make disciples. You alone know, because that's your heart. That's what you want to do, Father. You want to make disciple makers who makes other disciples. You were the perfect teacher, Lord. You poured your life into a couple of disciples. And today we are sitting here at the southern end of South Africa, Lord. We are sitting here as people who knows about Jesus Christ. It's because people were willing to lay down their lives. They decided to be followers. They decided to take up their cross and follow Jesus, no matter what the cost. I want to ask you tonight, I know there's many of you that might be fans tonight. You know Jesus. You walk a road with Him. But if you know you're not a true disciple tonight, I want you to stand up and be counted. If you feel there's a place in your life, you're not a true disciple yet. And this is not a shameful thing. This is a place where you say, where we say, Lord, I want to be counted. I want to be a true disciple. And if I don't know everything, I want to learn. But I acknowledge tonight, Lord, that I don't know everything and I want to stand up and be counted. If you feel tonight that you want to accept that call, that challenge tonight to be a true disciple, I want you to stand up and come and stand here on my right hand side. And it starts with people laying down their lives and saying, Lord, I want to be a true disciple. Now you could have accepted Jesus into your life. That's fine. I'm not asking you to accept Jesus into your life. I'm asking you now, do you want to become a disciple or not? A disciple maker. Do you want to become somebody who changes people's lives by being present in their lives? I want you to come forward.